Stewart from the Applied Physics Lab at the University of Washington. I had to work with him for looking at some of the models that APL has done around the laboratory and how they're commercializing opportunities. But the expanse of the kind of work that's happening there was unbeknownst to me. So we started working together on this last year. So Andy, tell us about Applied Physics Lab.
It would be my honor. Thank you very much for having me. It is really an honor to have such a distinguished audience. So 75 years of maritime innovation. This discussion isn't really going to look back too much because I really want to let you see how we're setting ourselves up for the future. But when folks ask, what is APL? Well, it's a lab that's been around for about 75 years. It's really hard to say what we are and what we do. I think everybody's visual, so I wanted to share some imagery. These are some examples of a few different things that we put in the water. But a very simple way to describe what we do is that we engage in a wide range of maritime research and development efforts. So we have an ocean engineering and a seagoing expertise that is really unmatched, I would say, across the country. It's really a very, very unique resource that we have in Washington State. I would say that all of these efforts are challenging. I personally believe this is an opinion, but most are really cool. Many of these have significant economic impact, in large part because we're bringing in a lot of federal money to the state and we're spending it here. But that's not where we want to stop. We want these to become sustainable endeavors, and essentially what we want to see is products. And this has been happening a lot. You've probably heard a lot of the spin-outs from the Applied Physics Lab. But I want to share a little bit about our vision for how to actually capture these and to have a little bit more of a strategy behind how to have economic impact in the state of Washington. So I don't have time to go into what all these cool toys are, but I just want you to kind of get the sense that we do weird stuff in the ocean and we're really good at it. So we've almost been around for 75 years. And I just want to share with you that we see that we're going into a new chapter of our history. The future is really pretty exciting for us. We are welcoming Dr. Lisa Zert to take over leadership of the laboratory. She'll start this coming year. She'll be the first female director of APL. It's a really exciting time. So looking back just a little bit, we developed the world's first UUV. UUV is unmanned underwater vehicle. So this is SPUR, the self-propelled underwater research vehicle. This vehicle, you can kind of get a sense of the scale. If you come visit me in my office, you have to walk past this thing. It was designed in 1950. So this blows my mind. I was not around then. But the engineers that built this system, developed it, they didn't have CAT. So they developed something that could go 5 knots for 5 hours at 3,000 meters depth in 1950. This thing operated under the Arctic ice. So fast forward to today, if you've never heard of UUVs, I'm pretty convinced you've been living under a rock. I won't go through all these examples, but I just want to bring your attention to the upper left corner. That's Boeing's Echo Voyager. That's one of the biggest UUVs around today. It's also one of the most power-hungry UUVs. I think it has a price tag of about $100 million. There is a market for this technology. We didn't really capitalize on this market as a laboratory, but I will say in the lower right-hand corner, you have one of the most, I think, fascinating engineering marvels in maritime, and that's a sea glider. That is a vehicle that operates using buoyancy as propulsion. And I'm not going to go into how that really works, but I'll let you know that that's pretty much the most efficient way to cross an ocean. And these things have crossed the Atlantic, they've gone way out into the Pacific. And this is actually now a product. Kongsberg Maritime is producing these and selling these here in Washington State. So we were at the forefront of this new paradigm for how you get stuff out in the ocean, how you operate in a maritime domain, take measurements, explore the ocean with UUVs. And we're doing it again today. So a lot of you have probably heard about the NSF's Ocean Observatories Initiative, or OOI. We actually helped build a cabled observatory off the coast here with 900 kilometers of cable on the seafloor with fiber and copper. So basically what you have is electrical and internet
outlets
down on the seafloor out at hydrothermal vents. So to give you an idea of what this looks like, I want to show you a camera feed coming from one of our systems that we have at Mushroom Hydrothermal Vent on axial seamount. That's a black smoker. So that is 300 degrees Celsius water coming out of the ocean seafloor. And it's supporting an animal colony, a lot of animal colonies like that. Most of the seafloor around there looks like this. We have some instruments down there that are connected to this network. And they're streaming this data back to shore in real time. But for the most part, the ocean is dark, it's boring. But if you light it up and you turn a camera on and you send some data back, you can learn a lot. And these are really pretty fascinating environments that we don't know much about. And it's because we can't get there. So now, for the first time in history, we have real-time access. And we can zoom in and we can look at these little creatures that are living in a completely foreign environment. I mean, they're living off of the energy of that hot water coming out of the bottom of the ocean. They don't see sunlight. Photosynthesis does not come to mind. So I just kind of want to share this as one of the examples of something weird and interesting that we do. We do a lot of different things. They don't all have, potential to become products, but some of them do. And so I want to at least mention our effort at UPL to enhance our ability to have economic impact through what we call a collaborative. So my colleague who's here with us today, Bob Miyamoto, is also our acting executive director. He's been my mentor, my colleague and my boss, who does the business with Bob. This is really his vision, and we've been running with it. So the idea is for us to actually share space with industry and to find ways to collaborate that aren't really scripted. So this is us sharing space and identifying new opportunities together, but without necessarily saying, okay, well, we want to have a company in this area, so we're going to start investing in this area. It's, hey, we're working on these advanced technologies, we've had some success with this, and we want to be alongside of others, entrepreneurs, other innovators that want to run with it. And we found that it actually goes both ways, that they're actually informing our research, and that we're creating new opportunities, and that we as a laboratory have become more competitive by having very good relationships between academics and folks in the industry. So we have 15 companies in this collaboratory. I won't go into what they all do, but we have people doing low-impact pile driving, advanced robotics for oil and gas. That comment, a fisherman walks into an innovation center, that is happening here, actually. So I just want to give you one little story about something that I think a lot of you probably kind of know about, but I want you to see where it had its origin. So a few years back, Bob Miyamoto was asked by a DARPA program manager, do you think we can track and trail submarines from a surface vessel? So we took a low-cost sonar built by BlueView, which was recently bought out by Teledyne, which is actually an APL spin-out before we had the laboratory. So we had some of these success stories. And now the idea is to really capitalize on it. But Bob took a couple of our boats, took this sonar, and then took a small manned submarine owned by a local company called Ocean Gate. And they went out and they showed that you could see, on the right here, you see this image of that submarine. You could see it from a surface vessel. So then what happened? Then DARPA decided they were going to go with this as a strategy for anti-submarine warfare and developed active ACTUV, an unmanned surface vessel capable of crossing oceans and following submarines wherever they might go. I hope most of you know that Vigor actually built this in the Pacific Northwest, but I just wanted you to kind of see some of these invisible ties that we have with industry that we think we can really enhance and capitalize on. So that's the one I really wanted to tell you about. OceanGate has gone on and has done more exciting things with their submarines. We collaborated with them on some of their early prototypes. They're actually going to go to the Titanic in 2018. And if you want to go, tough luck, they're sold out. Governor Inslee was kind enough to mention the Northwest National Marine Renewable Energy Center. NEMRAC is the name. I want to smack some university professors over the head for coming up with such a horrible acronym. That's our name. We're doing a lot of really exciting stuff in wave and tidal energy. These are some of our gadgets. I just wanted to show you or announce this exciting new test bed that we're developing. This is going to come online in 2018. We're under contract with Craftsman United Inc. up in Port Townsend. They're building a new vessel for the Applied Physics Lab, It's all aluminum, it has hybrid electric propulsion. This is currently made possible by Department of Commerce, Department of Energy, of course, and then a big sponsor in the Navy. And there's a lot of economic impact here. We're actually attracting a lot of companies in this space to come to Washington to test their technology, which is great. So that's really everything I had to say. Never miss an opportunity to think big, though. And so I just wanted to share some thoughts about life in maritime. I've actually been talking about data in the ocean for some time. And I think it's really exciting. I think everyone just needs to keep in mind that Microsoft, while Isaac might not be as excited about Microsoft as he could be, I'm pretty excited about them now because of Project Natick, which is actually putting servers in the ocean, taking advantage of the cooling, the marine renewable energy resources, and also the space. When you say space, this is where I think we're going. I think we're going to start making much better use of the ocean. And I just want to quickly share this one because I know some of you are probably thinking about where Amazon might put HQ2. I think we have a solution right in front of us. And if you think that's crazy, look at Jeff Bezos' patent in 2011 to use maritime platforms to launch vehicles into outer space and to retrieve them. And this is already an example of what's happening in SpaceX. So that's everything I have for you. Thank you for your time.